This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Big one lined up for you today. Be talking some draft. Happy Friday to you. Happy Arbor Day. You celebrate Arbor Day, Bear?
I mean, no, but I do love trees.
Is that all it is? It's a celebration of trees?
Yeah, I think so. Something like a tree conservation, maybe.
We live in a good spot for trees. Here in East Tennessee.
Yeah, we sure do. A little too much pollen right now. We need a good 2 or 3 day banger of rain to wash all the pollen down the drain.
You and I sound hoarse. Have you heard Hudson in the morning? He sounds terrible.
Yeah, why do you think I'm over here sterilizing everything? Typhoid Mary.
I don't think he's sick. I think he just has sinus crud.
He said he had a sinus infection that wasn't contagious.
Well, yeah.
That seems strange to me.
Sinus infections aren't contagious. They're an infection.
I kind of feel like if something's infecting you and you'd be infectious.
No, it's just an allergy thing, man.
Especially if it's a respiratory issue.
I've had kind of the same thing.
Well, you know what, Russ? Why don't you let's lean our shoulders into this and give our listeners a solid end to a great week we've had.
That is the plan. I mean, were you? Did that just strike you as an idea all of a sudden? Hey.
Well, no. I mean, you're kind of down in the, you're all gloomy Gus on me here. It's Friday.
I don't know. I mean
just... Tony Vitello and the baseball Vols went out there. Kentucky went up 3-0, and then we just put on a damn exhibition after that.
Bent them over a barrel and showed them the 50
draft
states.
Talk.
Right in the middle of Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Game 2 tonight. At 6:30, will there be a volunteer your action baseball this weekend? I don't know. Stay tuned. Find out. I might be going to the game tomorrow. Might be going to the game tomorrow. All the tickets are open now. I think you can actually get tickets. They're readily available. Are they 100% open, or are they just quietly? That's probably the way to do it. Just open it up, man.
Just sell it.
They did have, I noticed just watching on TV last night, they still have those goofy, like, cutouts in the first couple of rows. So it's definitely not 100% yet. But it should be. It should be, man. Time to open it back up. Let's go. Let's fill out Lindsey Nelson. Get this baseball team rolling as we head into the month of May, the final day of the month, 2021, on a roll here. And happy birthday, Adam Hickman, the birthday boy in studio this afternoon. You got any special plans tonight, Hickman?
I do not at the moment, actually.
How old are you today?
22.
22. So last year was the special one. Were you?
I guess now all I got to look forward to is 30, right? No. That's the next big one.
No. 25. Your insurance rates go down. Car insurance should.
Spoken like a true adult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's asking for things that you can look forward to.
So did you get wasted for this birthday last year?
Yeah.
How trashed? Do you remember it?
Not much. My buddy was actually worse than me, which was funny.
Was it his 21st as well?
No.
Oh.
he just went for the ride.
Your drinking partner got more wasted than you did on your 21st birthday.
And it was fun time.
Good times. All right. Well,
good times at the lake.
Well, yeah, and you were turned 21 on like a weird time too, because that was when everything was shut
COVID.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just went to the lake and got blistered?
Pretty much.
Yeah. When all else fails, I mean, that's a top plan right there, don't you think, Russ? Just getting obliviated at the lake, maybe
gotta be
going
careful,
jump
though.
Off the cliffs.
You gotta be careful. You get drunk out in that sun, end up getting roasted like a lobster. I've seen that happen.
Either that or sun poisoning.
Thankfully,
you ever had that?
I'm pretty tan as it is, so.
Yeah.
You don't look very tan right now.
You got to wear some sunscreen out there, man. A little SPF 50. That's another spoken like an old guy thing.
You let me get done with my little problem I've got right now where I can't go out in the sun And at the end of the summer, we'll have a tan off. I'm the undisputed tanning king of the drive. This is noted.
Hmm. Bear, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but I just feel like I have to chime in. What you're going through right now, I know it's not like melanoma or something. I'm just saying, like, you're going to get through this. We're both confident that you're going to come out on the other side. I say maybe stay out of the sun. Maybe count your blessings and, you know,
just
don't
be pale
tempt fate.
And set sail.
Don't tempt fate.
I may rhyme the whole show. I keep doing that. I mean, that's one way of looking at it.
DJ Funky Bear this afternoon on the show. All right, folks, let's get into it. The NFL draft is underway. The Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock as they get set to start round two later on this evening. NFL draft first round takeaways. We're going to talk to Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports coming up here in just a few. We'll get his takeaways from it to help kick off the show this afternoon. No surprises. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson go 1-2. And then we got crazy starting with pick number 3. They did it. Shanahan took Trey Lance.
Oh, yeah, that was goofy. I thought number 3 was Pitts, and I was like, Pitts was a good pick.
You thought they were going to – you thought the Niners were going to take Pitts?
No, but I thought that Atlanta – picked at 3.
No, they picked 4. They did take Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, that was probably – they probably got the best player in the draft.
I'll be interested to see I'm glad they took Trey Lance, man. Gamble on the young guy. It seems like maybe that's shaping up to be a little bit of an Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes type situation where you get to apprentice under Garoppolo for a year or so and then hand it off, and then we'll see where Jimmy G goes in the future. But I'll just – I don't get the Mac Jones thing. I don't think that he's going to be the second coming of Brady. I think he was overvalued at 15. I just don't think he's a first-round player, man. I don't get it. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, I'm just some guy with a microphone. I don't get the Mac Jones love.
I love the pictures that are circulating on Twitter of his physique.
Yeah. Mac Jones?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Looks like he'd get his ass kicked if he came in here. He'd probably come in here and squash all of us. But by picture, he looks kind of soft to me.
I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, there have been plenty of quarterbacks that don't look great with their shirts off. To me, it's just that he played at Alabama, and he was pretty good. But he's surrounded by elite talent. You're playing in the NFL now.
Najee Harris, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Did I say Najee?
Yeah, he's not going to have that kind of overwhelming talent advantage in the NFL. So we'll see. The Bengals reuniting Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow.
What'd you make of that? Old boy down at Urban, Meyer did the same thing, which I thought was as good as the Lawrence and as a sure thing as that one was. I didn't think Eddie Eane rated that pick.
Seems like they reached for Eddie N. Seems like you could have gotten a better value player there, especially because Meyer said last night that they plan on using him as a third down back.
So you think – now here, let me throw this one out there. If Pittsburgh doesn't go with Najee right before they got the pick again and Najee had fell to them, you think they would have taken him instead of Eddie N?
I don't know. I just question – if you're looking for a third down back, that seems like something you use a second or third round.
Third round has got written all over it. It
seemed like you had a chance to, and you can't tell me that the Jaguars don't have more needs than third down running back. So, yeah, I didn't. But, I mean, you leave with the best player in the draft, the best quarterback to go into the draft in many years. So that seems like they'll probably come out on top there. We'll see what Urban Meyer can do with them. Jalen Waddle goes to a lot of college quarterbacks reuniting with college teammates out there. So Waddle will go play with Tua down in Miami.
Yeah. What'd you think about Meyer's comments? Like he said something else, just kind of like, dude, you aren't coaching college anymore, brah. You can't tell grown men what they can and can't do. Made some comment about, I'll have to look it up. Something about not wanting them to waste time just worrying about how many billboards they're on. Country on football.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know what you're getting when you hire that guy. He's not going to change. And
Yeah, but you know how NFL guys are. They aren't going to listen to Joe College crap. It's a business at this point.
Benay Sewell to the Lions at 7. J.C. Horn from South Carolina going up the road to Carolina, following in the footsteps of Captain Munnerlyn, another great South Carolina quarterback to go up and play for the Panthers.
J.C. Horn or who the Titans got. I can't remember the kid's name.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that. I mean, I got a lot of thoughts on
Titans.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's interesting that Horn goes 8 and then Surtain from Bama goes 9 to the Broncos. Devontae Smith to the Eagles. And another, I guess he and Hurts didn't play together much, if any, at Alabama. But another quarterback, receiver, college hookup there. And then the Bears trading up to get Justin Fields. They had to give up a king's ransom, bunch of picks.
Who'd they give it up
to? Get them to the Giants.
Yeah, and good again soon.
We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things people say, well, was it worth it? Well, check back here in 3 or 4 years. If he ends the Bears' quarterback problems,
he's worth it.
Then, yes, it will have been worth it.
But if he doesn't and the New York Giants are going to the NFC Championship game with the picks they got from Chicago – That's when it gets really sticky.
I don't even think it's about that for the Bears. It's just, can you fix your quarterback situation?
Do you think he's going to be able to? I mean, he's a Midwest guy, I guess.
Know. I mean, what does that have to do with it? It's the NFL. Like, you have – what? He's either going to make it or he's not. I don't know. He's always seemed kind of goofy to me. It doesn't seem like those Ohio State quarterbacks are
– they're kind of like Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They're surrounded by such incredible talent at the skill positions and the offensive line. It always leaves me wondering, is a quarterback that good or is he a product of playing with what you call an overwhelming talent differential?
Yeah, I'm skeptical. I didn't think he was a great quarterback class, quite frankly.
Nah.
With Lance being kind of the asterisk, but just because he's played so few games and it's at North Dakota State, so nobody's really seen him play anyway. I haven't. So I just don't know. He seems like an intriguing prospect. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence is good. After that, these dudes are all gambles, in my opinion. And I'm sure
– like, I don't view them unless you have somebody like a Trevor Lawrence or an Andrew Luck that you feel really comfortable in thinking that he's going to be highly successful early. These guys are just as much a crapshoot as running backs.
Mm.
I'll say you got a better idea with running backs just because, you know, barring major, like, leg injuries, they've got a pretty good baseline about how long a good NFL running back will last, what, 5 years? But half these, and probably more than half the quarterbacks, these guys won't work out. This ain't the class of 83.
Caleb Farley going to my Titans at 22.
Whew.
Classic boomer bust pick.
Classic Titans.
If he's healthy, it'll be a great pick. But, I mean, the guy's had two back surgeries.
Is
he's
that a discectomy?
21 years old.
And he's already got a full discectomy. And I forgot what the other one was. But the one thing I will say about the two surgeries, when they went in originally, they thought that what they had to do, the most recent one on March 23rd, the discectomy, they thought that was a situation where with rest and rehab, that was a problem that could fix itself. Apparently didn't, went ahead and had the disc taken out.
Well, we'll see. I mean, he's 6'2", 207. He's got speed. They say he's, without the injuries, hands down the best cornerback, maybe one of the best defensive players in the draft. So, John Robinson gambles. I'm not much for gambling, but if it works out, it works out good. And we'll see. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons has been a good pick so far. And that's the weird thing is, like, last year didn't feel like a gamble with Isaiah Wilson. It just turned out to be a bad pick. But at the time, you're thinking, okay, this is a huge guy who played in the NFL, who played in the SEC, who, by all accounts, is, you know, he might not be a rocket surgeon, but doesn't seem like a bad kid. There weren't any red flags that I'm aware of, even now in hindsight, looking back on it. But it just turned out to be a bad pick. Doesn't even begin to describe it. It was a colossally bad pick. So,
can we listen to the song?
Oh, God.
Baby, I just wanna show you clueless. How I show you how to make a movement. Tryna give you all my heart and lose it. But I really want you.
Najee Harris, go to the Steelers. What a Steeler. I like that one. And
he's definitely got Steeler written all over him.
I like the two guys the Ravens got to. They had a good draft. All right, we're going to talk to Jordan Dejani about it. He covers it professionally for CBSSports.com. Your draft takeaways. When we continue, stay with us. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Friday afternoon edition of the show. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline where Jordan Dejani is standing by from CBSSports.com. Good afternoon, Jordan. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for jumping on. Now, I understand that you are a friend of one Cody McClure. I'm not sure if this speaks well or poorly of your decision-making, but we appreciate you jumping on the show, and we welcome you in.
Yeah, thank you so much. The rumors are true. I do have a connection to Cody McClure. I guess that would raise some red flags for my off-field activity. No, I'm kidding. I love Cody McClure. He's a great guy. Love to have him here in Nashville. I loved used to being able to do radio with him. So, yeah, always fun to jump on with the guys at Fox Sports Knoxville.
Yeah, you're probably on a watch list somewhere. But for now, you're just on the drive. So, Jordan, we talk about the draft here. And before we even get into the picks, I mean, Aaron Rodgers stealing the show and appears that he is in a standoff with the Packers. What's your take here? Is the Aaron Rodgers era over in Green Bay?
Yeah, this is a standoff, and there's no indication who will blink first. My first feeling is that I am leaning towards the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay might be over. Now, this has been a storyline that I've been following all offseason, ever since the Packers lost to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game, when Rodgers went viral for telling reporters right after that his future was uncertain. Now, that narrative continued throughout the offseason. More developments have come to light. He's upset with the Packers. And, in fact, earlier this offseason, his former offensive lineman, T.J. Lane, came out in a radio interview and said that Rodgers is, quote, hell-bent on revenge against this organization. You know, he's 37 years old. He wants to win another Super Bowl. The organization he's currently with are not doing things to his standards. He's trying to take advantage of his own opportunities here. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it all shakes out. I mean, there's definitely a chance he remains Green Bay's quarterback until he retires. But my gut feeling at this point in time is the Denver Broncos, man, they're reportedly making a big-time offer to acquire the services of this future Pro Football Hall of Famer. So keep an eye on the Broncos. It's going to be fun to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting if he's able to go over there back into the AFC West, and people will try and draw the Peyton Manning parallels there as far as a great quarterback moving to Denver in the twilight of his career. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is still playing at a very high level, just like Peyton was when he went there. Do you think that elevates Denver back into championship contention status if they're able to pull that off?
I think so. I don't think I'd be putting my money on them to win the Super Bowl, but, I mean, look how tough of a division they're in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, and you don't know what's going to happen with the Raiders. So that'll be a really fun division to follow. But you're right. I mean, this guy is playing incredibly good ball. I mean, he had an MVP campaign last year, and his main motivation was to stunt on his own team because they took a quarterback with the first-round pick in the 2020 draft without even informing him they were going to do so. So Aaron Rodgers is motivated. A motivated Aaron Rodgers is best. And if he does have that change of scenery, I think that he could keep up that MVP play.
Talk with Jordan Dejani, CBS Sports, this afternoon on the show. And let's get into the draft here. All right, everything going according to plan. And then the first big moment of the draft occurs at pick 3. The 49ers take Trey Lance. Jordan, is that shaping up to be one of those Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes situations where he kind of learns under Garoppolo in a what would be pretty much a lame duck status for Jimmy G?
Absolutely. And it's funny you bring that up because I think a storyline we're not talking enough about is Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, his prospective landing spots, such as the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots, Those disappeared last night because those two teams took quarterbacks. So now it seems even more unlikely that Garoppolo is going to get moved. And listening to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan speak last night, it seems like they are going to roll with Garoppolo. There is going to be a competition, no doubt about it, but they're pretty set on saying that it's going to be hard to beat out Jimmy G. It wouldn't shock me if he's the starter week one. I mean, Trey Lance, he threw 318 passes in college, right? He needs those reps. He needs some experience. It might not hurt him to learn under a quarterback. But with that being said, Garoppolo has struggled to stay healthy, and he hasn't been, you know, an elite quarterback by any means. So it's going to be fun to see when Kyle Shanahan and when the 49ers do make that move. But I'm starting to think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter there, that he's not going to be traded away this offseason.
What's your take on the quality of the quarterback class this year? Obviously, it's deep. There are a lot of quarterbacks selected last night. But to me, there's Trevor Lawrence, and then there's a bunch of other guys. 5 years from now, do you think we'll be looking back and saying, yeah, you know, the majority of those quarterback selections were good picks?
It's possible. I mean, the way you just put it, no, because I think, you know, this class might become more average than elite per se. Trevor Lawrence obviously is the best quarterback in this class in my mind. I love what he brings to the NFL level. Zach Wilson's kind of a question mark. He has that very special arm, and I'm not talking about throwing power. I'm talking about the kind of different throws that he can make. So he's an intriguing prospect, but the New York Jets haven't been a good franchise by any means, and I mean, we saw what they did to Sam Darnold as well, so he's kind of a question mark. Justin Fields was actually my number two quarterback in this class, and I like him going to the Chicago Bears. I think they finally made a good decision there, so I think he has potential. Like I said, Trey Lance doesn't have that much experience under center. He's more of a project. The same goes with Mac Jones with the Patriots. I think that's a great landing spot, by the way, in New England with Bill Belichick. Maybe he can get the most out of Mac Jones there whenever he starts taking snaps under center. And as for the rest, you know, I'm intrigued with guys like Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond. I expect those two players to hear their names sometime tonight. So, I mean, you're right in the sense that there's definitely some deepness, some depth, if you will, to when it comes to these prospects and evaluating their potential at the next level. But I'm not sure. I'm going to be hesitant in saying that we're going to look back on this class as, yes, this was elite. Yes, every first-round quarterback these teams took with their first picks turned out to be the franchise guy. It just doesn't work out that way. But yeah, there's plenty of interesting guys to watch as they start their NFL careers.
So obviously with Fields, that trade will be worth it for the Bears if he pans out. What about the other side of that and Gettleman, the Giants racking up a bunch of picks? They go down and then they take Kadarius Toney at 20 out of Florida, and that's proven to be a controversial pick. A lot of people saying that, oh man, they way overvalued there, and that they probably should have looked elsewhere. Your take on what the Giants did?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, okay? So I think they won in the sense of the trade. I mean, they got a 2021 fifth round, a 2022 first, a 2022 fourth. So let's say the Bears are not very good and it takes a while for Justin Fields to even see the field or just get going. Those are going to be some nice draft picks into what's expected to be a loaded class next year. But they also are somewhat of losers in the draft, right? I think they were sitting at that number 11 overall pick, and all indications were showing, I think reports came out today, that they were interested in taking Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama. But then their NFC East rivals, the Cowboys and the Eagles, worked out a deal where the Eagles jumped them at 10 to take Devontae Smith. So with that, they were able to trade down and, you know, get some picks and take Kadarius Toney. I like Kadarius Toney. I think some other people like him more than I do. You know, I'm fascinated by some other wideouts like Rashad Bateman. I loved Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. He was a guy I wanted the Titans to pick. So, but I mean, Toney definitely has that playmaking ability. It is a controversial pick, but I like what where the Giants' head at is for sure.
You talk about the Titans, and obviously that is another kind of stunner pick last night. They take Caleb Farley, and I think most people listening to this show are probably familiar with that story by now. You said you wanted them to take Elijah Moore. That seemed to be a popular selection in a lot of mock drafts leading up to last night. What do you think the thought process is there for John Robinson and the Titans?
Yeah, so when it comes to Caleb Farley, I am cautiously optimistic, okay? Caleb Farley was probably the number one cornerback on a lot of teams' big boards, but obviously fell due to injury issues, and things did not go his way in the draft process with him reportedly testing positive for COVID before draft night, right? I mean, this is a guy that people were hesitant to spend their first pick on. But when it comes to the Titans, they have a legitimate need, a clear need at cornerback, and they were sitting down there at number 22 overall. It seemed like the right spot of the draft board to take a shot on this prospect. So that's why I'm okay with it. Now, let's say Patrick Surtain out of Alabama fell that far. I know that's probably unreasonable, but if he did, I would imagine the Titans would have taken him over Caleb Farley. But since those cornerbacks went very high at 8 and 9, the Carolina Panthers getting J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, and then, of course, the Broncos taking Surtain, That meant that Farley was kind of the next guy to go, possibly over Greg Newsom. So the Titans taking him at 22, I'm okay with, because he has that potential. But more importantly, the Titans had a serious need at cornerback, and it was a need I think they needed to address with their first or second pick.
I don't know if this means anything. I'm watching the video of him coming off the plane for the Titans today. It's one of those small planes, Barry. He has to lean over. For a guy,
he's a big guy.
He just had back surgery. I can't really lean over like that. I've never had back surgery. I'm not an NFL athlete, obviously.
Yeah,
but
you're not going to be on a field with, 11 drug-crazed maniacs.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
To kill you.
For a guy who is, that's got to be a good sign, right? I mean, he looks limber.
He can bend over. I'm with Jordan on this one. I would be cautiously optimistic. It's a hell of a gamble. If it pays off, they'll get the absolute best corner in the draft. But like you said, if his back's jacked up, this could be another Titans blown first-round pick. Big gamble.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's very possible that we blew the back issues out of proportion, because the reports coming in when he missed his pro day was that it was a minor procedure. But at the same time, you take those reports with a grain of salt. If a prospect is missing his pro day due to a whatever surgery, whether it's minor or major, then he has to step off the field and miss that opportunity to perform in front of those scouts. You have to take that into account. So hopefully it was minor. Hopefully he's ready to go for the beginning of the season and hopefully play a big role in year one for Tennessee.
Those back surgeries are so tough, man. Sometimes, I mean,
there's really no such thing as a minor. Not to NFL people.
Well, Tigers had what, 4 or 5 of them, and he came back and won
the
Masters at 42. I know the kid here, Austin Pope, the tight end from CAK at Tennessee, who's coming back. He's had multiple back surgeries. They're about the same age, right? Early 20s. Playing football, tight end at the SEC, cornerback in the NFL. I mean, this is kind of a similar workload. It's amazing. It probably, 20 years ago, that might be career-ending type stuff. I don't know. But Titans fans hoping it works out.
So, Jordan, who do you think had got the best player in the draft last night out of all the first-round picks?
So the two top players in the draft, in my opinion, that were non-quarterbacks were Florida's tight end Kyle Pitts and then Oregon's offensive tackle Penei Sewell. So I love what the Atlanta Falcons did. I mean, I think they're putting their trust in Matt Ryan, saying that he has some tread left on the tires, and that's only going to be helped by adding a dynamic pass catcher like Kyle Pitts. You can kind of line up anywhere, really add something to your offense. We know Arthur Smith has great experience with these tight ends and trying to get an offense going. So I think that was a really good match there. And the Lions taking Sewell was kind of surprising. I guess it wasn't necessarily their biggest need, but Sewell might be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is one of the best players in this draft. He can really do anything. He can play anywhere along the offensive line. He was a guy I talked to a couple of weeks ago, and I came away very impressed with the kind of man he is, the kind of prospect he is. He's already practicing on the right side. He doesn't expect to come in and guard the blind side immediately. So I'm interested in Kyle Pitts and Penei Sewell. I think they'll make an immediate impact at the next level.
Talk with Jordan Dejani of CBS Sports this afternoon on the show. Get back to the Titans for just a second. Jordan, what do you think? They've got a corner there, and I've seen some people saying they very well might take another one at some point this weekend. What do you think the rest of the draft should look like for the Titans?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I wrote an article kind of drawing out the perfect game plan for the Titans, and obviously they addressed the cornerback need. I wouldn't be upset if they addressed it again further along down the draft board, if in the 6th or 7th round, if you will. But the wide receiver is kind of the next thing on my mind. I mean, this class is extremely deep. It's not even something the Titans have to spend the second round pick on, but taking at least one or maybe even two wide receivers would be great for this offense. Everyone knows Derrick Henry's trying to tote the rock, so adding more playmakers after losing Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries is going to do the Titans well. I'm also looking at the offensive line, and I think there's some kind of interesting players like maybe Walker Little out of Stanford, someone who has the potential to play at tackle but will probably start out on the inside. Building up depth will be important. A lot of people have been talking about the tight end position, and I think that's a good idea because the Titans definitely need a legitimate pass catcher, a starter at tight end. So I know my colleague Chris Trapasso at CBS, he has them eyeing Brevin Jordan out of Miami, the tight end who's kind of a yak specialist, if you will, somebody who's a pass catcher that can definitely serve as a nice check down option for Ryan Tannehill.
All right, Jordan, last thing for you. We'll let you run here. Do you have a favorite green room moment or draft coverage moment, something that stuck out to you? I know Jalen Waddle's quick exit stage left from the green room is getting a lot of publicity today.
Yeah, you kind of took that. Waddle was definitely one because apparently he hugged his family before or after, but it was kind of funny to hear his name called. The camera goes to them, and he ditches his family. Like, all right, I'm over you guys. I'm starting off my new life. I thought that was kind of funny. The other one was Micah Parsons' interview. I think that, you know, this was a prospect who was considered one of the top talents in the draft, but his stock fell due to character concerns, off-field issues, whatever, stuff that happened in his past at Penn State. And he was another guy I talked to pre-drafting. We were kind of talking about if he cared where he went in the draft, and he told me he was over that and he was kind of ready for the next chapter. But when he got up there on his microphone, I think it was with ESPN, you know, he kind of broke down and, you know, it kind of all hit him at once. His mom was a Dallas Cowboys fan. You know, he's picked in the first round. All his hard work paid off. I think he's going to make an incredible impact on that Cowboys defense. So seeing him kind of, you know, I love seeing the moment just hit these guys all at once. So all of those good moments, all of those good moments are always so fun to see on Twitter and everything like that. And I'm sure we'll see a couple today as well.
All right. He's Jordan DeJohnny. Jordan, tell the folks where they can go and follow your work online.
Yes, CBSSports.com is definitely one of the best places in the world for your draft coverage. We're grading every single pick. We have mock drafts for day two and day three. There's nothing you could be missing out there on CBS Sports. So definitely go check it out and follow me on Twitter as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Jordan. Appreciate you hopping on.
Thank you, guys.
Jordan DeJohnny on the G3 Help Me Hotline to G3HelpMe.com. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, go to G3HelpMe.com or just call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III at 865-558-8030, serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. We'll open up the G3 Help Me Hotlines to you. Right now, you want to jump in, talk about the draft, 865-546-8200 is our number here in studio, 546-8200 coming up. We'll get into this Tennessee baseball game from last night and another big one against Kentucky coming up this evening. Plus, should we call off the dogs on Danny No-Nugs? As a matter of fact, should we stop calling him Danny? Should we just start over? Should we? I feel like
we clean the slate?
I feel like we've gotten off both. There's
put it in the field, Russell. That's all I can tell you.
There's plenty of blame
smoking
on both sides.
Quest.
Should we just start over? Sometimes you do that, right? You ever meet somebody and you just get off on the wrong foot and you're like, this doesn't need to be this way. Like, we should be friends.
Like
we should
me
at
and
least
Nate.
We should at least get along. Like, let's just hit the reset button and pretend.
Yeah, it works out that way.
None of this has happened.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about that. It'll be your Record Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
The drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Are we being too hard on Danny White?
Is this going to be straight yes or no?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, here's the thing about hitting the reset button. That's what I think that's best for everybody.
Sure.
But here's the thing. There has to be reciprocal, right? He has to be willing.
Exactly.
He's got to stop.
Yeah.
He's got to stop referencing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, clean slate. It's like, dude, let's forget about text a buddy. Let's forget about referencing negativity and how we ought to pay you or whatever point you were trying to make. Let's just start over. It's still early. You haven't even been here for a football game. Like, let's just start over. You stop doing whatever it is you're doing with the fans, and we'll stop. I'll stop calling you Danny No Nugs. We'll stop making fun of your haircut or whatever it is we're doing. The fact that you don't wear a tie in press conferences, and the fact that your brother coaches in Florida. We're just wipe the slate clean here.
Whoa! No, I can't go there.
Okay, well you do you, but I'm talking about.
I ain't taking it easy
wiping
on his brother.
The slate clean. That's not what I said. You take it on him. You do whatever you want on his brother. I'm talking about him. I don't care about his brother. I care about us.
Yeah. Well, his brother's a head basketball coach at Florida. I instinctively just don't like him.
I wish that we could have some sort of response from him, a truce, a handshake, a gentleman's agreement, whatever you want to call it.
Let's not beef.
Let's just move forward,
man. Let's all pull in the same direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't start none, won't be none.
But he's got to stop too.
He's got to stop picking.
Because he might say, well, okay, that's fine, but you guys got to stop being negative. But that's
the ones that are really vocal about it. I mean, it's like Bill Burr says. It's honest to God, there's a lot of truth in this theory. It's the same 20 people.
And it's not going to happen. Like,
deuces,
we're going
to, you know what I mean?
We're all going to lose our minds if we lose to Pitt the second week of the season.
Yeah. I'll just go. There's nothing you can say or do will stop us from doing that. Nothing he can say or do, and he's going to have to come to grips with that.
So here's the thing. We can't stop that. There's nothing we can do to change that. We're fans. Fans is short for fanatic. We're going to go crazy, okay? That's just what it is. But what we can do is, like, I didn't feel great about hour three yesterday. Like, that probably went a little bit overboard. We really bent him over a barrel and showed him the 50 states. And the thing about that is when you're really going off on somebody and on the radio, like, there's a momentum to it and you get carried away. And once you pass a certain point, it's like, oh, hell, I'm going on. I'm ripping this dude. You can't half-heartedly rip somebody. If you're going to rip somebody, you really got to reach in there and rip their heart out and
yeah, you gave him the business. I went back and listened to it. I was kind of it kind of stunned me into silence for the first. That doesn't happen often with us.
It was a lot.
It was a ferocious attack, and it was one of your better ones.
Well, and what
you were speaking from the heart, and you were speaking truth.
But it's not about me, man. It pales in comparison to what's out there on social media and the message boards and everything like that. So what I would like to see happen. I don't know if anybody can mediate this or if. I mean, he's not going to come out and address this publicly. I don't think he will, but maybe he will. I don't know. But it's like, dude, let's just start over. How about that? We're only 3 months into this thing.
Oh, I'm all about – this is one of the best ideas you've ever – it's the first time in a long time where, I mean, hell, I'm on board. Like, you don't have to talk me into it.
Let's just hit the reset button.
Yeah. Let's clear it out.
Let's just start over. You stop talking about us. And we'll drop
do whatever
what we're doing
you have
this week.
To do to get the football team healthy.
Yeah,
and I guarantee if you do that, the money spigot will be creaking back to being wide open. People aren't going to pay. I mean, that's the one thing I've taken away from all this from Vol fans. At some point, Tennessee fans figured out, you know, we don't have to pay for this if we don't want to. And if they keep putting an inferior, unentertaining product out on the field, which goes back to what David Ubbin was talking about, which I thought was a great point this week, is that our football team's not very entertaining.
Now, just make it fun. We are not unrealistic. Tennessee fans get a bad rap about that. Nobody's expecting 12-0 this year. Nobody's even expecting 10-2. I'm not even... And we've been doing this for a couple of years now where to me, we'll have the record prediction shows and everything, but it's not about that. It's about I'd almost rather – it's just about entertainment value, man. Is it fun? Can you have a fun 7-5 season?
Was it Butch Jones-esque?
What?
The argument that he picked or the fight that he picked this week? That's what jumped out at me. Little Butch Jonesy.
Little butchy.
You gotta be smarter than that if you're gonna be the head man.
Little butchy.
But I'm willing to.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm sorry, Coach. I'm willing to let bygones be bygones.
And it's big coming from you because you usually are not.
No.
You're usually
but I know
not
the situation they're in because I really do at the end of the day, I think the guy, if he can get everything to start clicking, he did a good job at UCF. I mean, he really did. He kind of he was a really good steward down there and ran a fairly efficient program. I'm hoping he can do that here. He just, you know, you don't want to get down in the mud with Legion of the Miserable because we can sling it. Because that was the thing that jumped at me. I was like, dude, do you think this is bad? Mm-hmm. He hadn't seen anything.
Are we being too hard on Danny White? Already 84 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter as the poll just goes live. 63% of the audience says no, we're not being too hard on Danny White, while a 37% says yes. So still pretty early, still pretty close. We'll see how these numbers go over the course of the next 2 hours. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Let's grab a call from Buster. Good afternoon, Buster. You're on the drive.
Morning, team.
Morning.
Barry, you did exactly right. I'm with you on this one. No New York Yankees, but I'm with you. This is exactly right.
What'd you just say to me, Buster?
I'm with you on your ideology of what's going down with this reset and all. But I'm telling you, this baseball team is awesome, and I just now drove in, and I am here. I'm parking where it was filled up with cars.
You're already at the baseball game?
Yes. I thought maybe –
you going to pull out the grill? You going to tailgate?
No. But I talked to the street guards at the picnic tables, and he said it was not a sellout last night. So I'm telling you, Barrett – come on out to the game tonight. Wear your mask, double mask it, make O'Biden happy. But come out to the game. I think they don't mean nobody here. I'm looking behind my real rear mirror on my car. There's nobody in line, and I'm going to have
Buster,
a great seat.
Buster, it's 3:30. The game doesn't
start
for three
more hours.
What the hell
are you going to do out
there? There's nobody in line.
The game is at 6:30, I thought.
Yeah.
I was trying to do some business at West Knoxville, and the traffic's getting all clogged up. I said, "The heck with that! I'm going to the game, get in line."
You're just gonna sit in the sit in the park 4 hours. I guess you can watch all the pregame
stuff, aren't you? I'm sitting here, and I'm doing this thing. But you know what? Chance, the Green Bay Packer guy, and me, Green Bay Packer guy, and some other Green Bay Packer guy. We're all getting together if they want to come.
Chance is in Chance Collins, the Green Bay Packer fan.
Yeah. He's a Green Bay Packer guy.
So you, Chance Collins, and someone else are all getting together.
Anybody. You know, everybody's got my cell phone number. I want to be a difference maker for everybody on this baseball team because I'm about to buy a plane ticket in June to go to Omaha.
Whoa.
Listen, you guys need to do some remotes or something for this baseball.
No, me and Russell, if we make Omaha,
we're driving.
Yeah, me and Russell are in a van.
We've got a van. You want to ride in the van with us, Buster?
No, I work for a living. So
what do you think we do?
We're slaving for you, Buster, every afternoon from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, 1348.
You think we're doing this for free?
Listen. I'm a podcast guy now. Podcast is awesome for us working
hear that,
people
Hickman?
Who've got a lot of stress.
Say it one more time, buddy. Hickman, listen.
Buster is the first podcast listener to ever call a show. This is historic, ladies and gentlemen.
This morning I listened to the podcast at 5 o'clock with the head coach of the baseball team. And, yes, it is right. It was the most awesome interview. And you guys handled it very awesomely. And I think it was a good loss. I think this team's going to sweep the Blue Bloods.
We came out a little pissed off last night.
But he wasn't over it when he came on with us. You could tell it was still sticking in his craw.
You're taking out some frustration on the Mildcats.
If anybody needs a ticket tonight, everybody's got my cell phone number. Just call me. I'm going to be in line. I called the ticket office this morning. They said, as long as you're in line and they know who the scalpers are, if you want a ticket tonight, they'll let you buy 5 or 10 tickets. There's no limit on buying tickets. But this team needs to have us come out tonight and wear your double mask for O'Biden.
We don't get political on here.
All right.
We
don't. Have a Trump
respect
day.
The office.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200. Yeah, the baseballs absolutely strapped Kentucky. They let their starter. I will never come at Tony V again for leaving the starter in too long.
Right. No, not after last night.
That guy at Kentucky.
He got shelled.
He just left him out there, man. He had seven runs.
Just let him die.
We batted around on his ass.
He just sat out there and watched him die on that mound.
And a couple of homers and extra base hits. It was nuts, man. And then we put up a five spot in the third. Did you see the guy, the Kentucky second baseman, who he thought it was out number three? And he just,
I didn't see that part.
And he
just tossed the ball.
Yeah, sharply hit ball. Excuse me, to third, and I forget which inning this was in. I think it was the third or fourth, and they throw it over the second baseman, and he gets the out. Not only was it not the third out, it wasn't the second out. It was the first out of the inning.
He didn't try and turn a.
No, he catches the ball, and then he starts jogging back to the dugout and rolls the ball up to the pitcher's mound. And then he gets halfway to the foul line, and everybody's yelling at him, and he's like, oh, my God. He turns around and goes and gets the ball. And then we put up a few more runs after that.
I mean, if Tennessee's wanting to get to Omaha, they've got to – like, if you see the – like, Arkansas – They've got to start doing this more and more, be more explosive offensively. And I think it'll come if they could just drive in half of the guys that they leave stranded on base, and we'll be tough to beat. Nobody's going to want to see us in the World Series. If we can get our offense cranked up just a bit more.
It's cranking along pretty good right now. So we'll see if we can keep it going.
I'm just more of a – when I watch them, I see how many – just a lot of opportunities, a lot of runs left out on the bases. So, but then again, we got a grand slam to beat Vanderbilt.
Well, we also have – we've got to lead the nation. I don't watch a lot of other teams, but in balls hit to the edge of the warning track, Drew Gilbert missed a grand slam last night by 5 feet.
It'll be interesting to watch. Chris Burks – got me intrigued now about the whole hitter spark thing. As it warms up this summer, I wonder if some of those balls are going to start landing out in the outfield.
Big game tonight, game two. We've got Heflin on the mound this evening, and Tennessee trying to keep it going. 13-6 now in SEC play, 33-10 overall. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. We got Mark Nagy on next hour. That's always fun. Get his thoughts on this Danny White truce. We're preparing a truce agreement. Will Danny White sign it? Will we sign it? I don't know. I'm having it out this afternoon on The Drive. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up.